First of all, I just want to say thank you for all the people that's listening and chiming in on me. You didn't have to do it, but you did it anyway. So I appreciate you doing that. Hopefully that way we can learn how to agree to disagree, and we can live like people. Well, I make the hard topics, I say the hard things, I make the thing itch scratch. So if your itch is not scratching, and you scratching on the itch, maybe you need to look yourself in the mirror. So I'm not here for no drama. I'm not here for no nothing. Just to learn, and edify. This is from learning situations only. So I'm not here to get anybody's hairs up. So again, thank you. And hopefully we can agree to disagree.
Still miss you, I admit it. Yeah. I won't sit here and act like you didn't mean a thing to me. Yeah. At times you was heaven sent. And the way your skin used to feel like your smile was a melody. I don't want nothing to be strange. Just because we went our separate ways. Think about when I used to treat you like my meal. Memory phone with your body, my print is still on it. Wanna call you over right now. But I know it's best that we keep our distance. Feel like it's something missing when you're not here with me. Maybe in the future we can be. Ooh. Ooh. Probably ain't getting back together. But that don't mean I can't wish you better. We ain't good, but we still good. I realize that I can't be your lover. Let's just keep it honest with each other. I'll be happy for you when you find another. We ain't good, but we still, yeah.
The main reason we went into Iraq, I believe, my opinion, was to stop Saddam Hussein from backing the dinar with gold, thus unseating the petrodollar from the OPEC agreement. And then we had to do the same to Libya and Syria and Lebanon and Yemen. We're going to do it to Iran, too, because the bankers want to protect the right to print these worthless trash paper currency units so other countries have to use them to buy oil. And if they choose to use something other than the U.S. dollar, well, $850 billion military comes their way.
This video is for information purposes only.
Hey, good. What's good, sir? Good to see you. I just wanted to give you an update that I'm about to walk across the street from my office here in Washington, and we're going to take the vote right now. We're voting right now for aid for Ukraine.
Can we get some aid for the homeless people?
We're going to get this passed out of the House of Representatives. We're going to send it to the Senate. The Senate will vote on it soon. We're behind you.
Can we get some aid for the hungry children in America?
Thank you. I think it's going to be passed in the
Can we get some aid for the medical, for the American people?
Then the next step is,
can we get some aid for the student loans for the American people who's getting educated to have a better future in America?
We believe in you. We're behind you. You're doing an amazing job. Your bravery, your courage.
Can you believe in the American people?
Inspiring to all of us. So we're going to pass this bill. I talked to the administration. They're actually getting...
Can you pass a bill to keep TikTok, to keep the money in American people?
Okay.
Can you believe in the American people? Make this video go viral. This is for information purposes only.
A research worm. In a good way. The elite are all about transcendence and living forever and the secrets of the universe, and they want to know all this. Some are good, some are bad, some are a mix. But the good ones don't ever want to organize. The bad ones tend to want to organize because they lust after power. Powerful consciousnesses don't want to dominate other people. They want to empower them, so they don't tend to get together until things are really late in the game. Then they come together. Evil's always defeated because good is so much stronger. And we're on this planet, and Einstein's physics showed it, Max Planck's physics showed it, all there's at least 12 dimensions. And now that's why all the top scientists and billionaires are coming out saying it's a false hologram. It is artificial. The computers are scanning it and finding tension points where it's artificially projected, and gravity's bleeding in to this universe. That's what they call dark matter. So we're like a thought or a dream that's a wisp in some computer program, some God's mind, whatever. They're proving it all. It's all coming out. Now, there's like this sub-transmission zone below the third dimension that's just turned over to the most horrible things, is what it resonates to. And it's trying to get up into the third dimension that's just a basic level consciousness to launch into the next levels. And our species is already way up in the fifth, sixth dimension, consciously, our best people. But there's this big war trying to, like, basically destroy humanity because humanity has free will, and there's a decision to which level we want to go to. We have free will, so evil's allowed to come and contend, not just good. And the elites themselves believe they're racing, using human technology to try to take our best minds and build some type of breakaway civilization where they're going to merge with machines, transcend, and break away from the failed species that is man, which is kind of like a false transmission because they're thinking what they are is ugly and bad, projecting it onto themselves instead of believing, no, it's a human test about building us up. And so Google was set up 18, 19 years ago. This was, I knew about this before it was declassified. I'm just saying I have good sources. That they wanted to build a giant artificial system. And Google believes that the first artificial intelligence will be a supercomputer based on the neuron activities of the hive mind of humanity with billions of people wired into it with the Internet of Things. And so all of our thoughts go into it, and we're actually building a computer that has real neurons in real time that's also psychically connected to us that are organic creatures, so that they will have current prediction powers, future prediction powers, a true crystal ball. But the big secret is, once you have a crystal ball and know the future, you can add stimuli beforehand and make decisions that control the future. And so then it's the end of consciousness and free will for individuals, as we know, and a true 2.0 in a very bad way, hive mind consciousness with an AI jacked into everyone, knowing our hopes and dreams, delivering it to us, not in some PKD wirehead system where we plug in and give up on consciousness because of unlimited pleasure, but because we were already wired in and absorbed before we knew it by giving over our consciousness to this system by our daily decisions that it was able to manipulate and control into a larger system. There's now a human counterstrike taking place to shut this off before it gets fully into place, and to block these systems, and to try to have an actual debate about where humanity goes, and cut off the pedophiles and psychic vampires that are in control of this AI system.
There are only
a very few things that might have the ability to shock our world into a better place. Because right now, like, we're on a train on a track that's, I don't like the destination up ahead. What's the destination? Here it is. The destination is a global system in which humanity becomes one big giant ant farm. 24/7 surveillance, 5G, 6G technology, smart devices all over the place. No privacy for the rest of all time. Not for you, not for your kids, not for your grandchildren, not ever. A regimented society, propagandized 24/7 all the time. And the only way really I can see stopping it is a mass awakening, so that people realize, like, what's happening. And the only way that's going to happen is that people have a massive lie exposed to them. Like, here it is. You've been lied to on this scale for an entire human lifetime or more, in which everyone just says, oh my dear God, what has happened? Our political institutions, our media, our everything that we believed in has been shown to be one great long con. I mean, let's face it, we're in an era now where you're not supposed to believe in conspiracy theories. A phrase, by the way, that actually was invented, as far as we can tell, by the CIA in a 1967 document meant to disable the JFK alternate theories at the time. They actually created the phrase conspiracy theory. But anyway, we're now in an era where you're not supposed to believe in conspiracy theories. But yet here comes the UFO conspiracy theory, the true mother of all conspiracy theories. What's bigger than that? Really nothing. And if that were fully to be exposed in all of its, like, diabolical, like, web of lies, I often wonder, maybe this would be the one truth that could actually be like that sledgehammer to smash that wall.
If it wrecks the government's, yay, because how's that working for you right now? Not really good, right? When I see how the world is run today, how governments run the world, doesn't seem like it's not how it's supposed to be. It can be so much better. You know, humans are the only species on Earth that require money to survive. It's not supposed to be that way. There's a better way. And I just want people who've had these experiences, don't be afraid to speak up and speak out, because the government knows more than they're saying, and they don't want you to know.
And the one thing that we can't lose sight of is the government is ours. That is something that gets lost in the conversation. I think that society feels that we work for the government. They actually have this feeling, this vibe, and this intimidation. It's the opposite. And if we want information, if we want action, it's us that does it. The government's not going to do it for us. To expect disclosure to come from the government for whatever reason, it'll never happen. It will never happen.
Part of my perspective is developed from the book of Revelation. And remember, the good guys win.
As a moderator, I'm Dr. Glennie King, also known as Dr. Akila Mukaram, president of the Afro-Descendant Nation. Over the past 469 years, Afro-Descendant's identity in the United States has changed from nigger, Negro, colored, Afro-American, Black, and African-American. We, the Afro-Descendant Nation, urge the distinguished officers of the PFPAD to accept and recommend to the United Nations that they accept and mandate that the member states notify every citizen in their countries that we are Afro-Descendants with the following specific definition. The term Afro-Descendants refers to descendants of peoples who were forcibly dispossessed of their homeland, Africa, were transported to the Americas and slavery diaspora for the purpose of enslavement, were subjected to slavery, were subjected to forced mixed breeding and rape, have experienced through force the loss of mother tongue, culture, and religion, and or have experienced racial discrimination due to lost ties or partially lost ties from their original identity. Afro-descendant with this specific definition is our great unifier. It transcends race and provides an elevation to lineage and heritage. We are a diverse people with different ideologies, religions, and beliefs. We have become a new people from our experiences that lingered from our foreparents suffering through slavery. We also urge this forum to recommend to the United Nations that the Afro-Descendant Nation receive the 194th seat in the United Nations as part of their equity initiative so that our voices can be heard and we will not be overlooked. No one else is speaking on Afro-Descendants' behalf. Consider taking a look at the Jewish materials claims against Germany as a framework or guide that we can use and modify as Afro-Descendants to secure reparations and reparatory justice from our oppressors, and dedicate a specific forum or bold agenda item for Afro-Descendants at the second international decade of the Permanent Forum on People of African Descent. Thank you very much.
To see this video as they pass an additional $60 billion to go over and send over fucking seas to Ukraine while our mommies and daddies are suffering here in America, while we continue to live paycheck to paycheck. And by the way, my taxes, your taxes, did you okay $60 billion going over to fucking Ukraine while our families are starving here in the United States of America? Take a look at this video. And by the way, you can't even believe, you won't even believe that this is America. They're passing around Ukrainian flags, flying them and screaming, hail to Ukraine. Look at this, and I'm going to come back and tell you exactly what I motherfucking see.
One voting present. I missed it, but thank you. The House will be in order. The House will be in order. The chair would remind my colleagues to observe proper decorum. Flag waving on the floor is not appropriate. The House will be in order.
Not one American flag. Not one mention of Maui. An additional $60 billion sent over to Ukraine, and the people who currently still do not have a place to live, food to buy, water to drink, roads to drive on, receive $720. Borders are pouring in. We have no security. We have defunded most of the police in the United States of America. Mommies and women and children are getting sucker punched in the face in New York City as we continue to hold no bail, no bonding, and these criminals continue to be released from prison to repeat the offenses again on our American people. But Ukraine is safe and secure, and we're protecting them from Russia. But we can't protect our own American people from the animals that are pouring in through the borders of the United States of America. And I am restricting by saying that the good people and the mommies and daddies that want a better life, oh well, I'm sorry, but because this current administration is letting in a lot of bad people, it's gonna be, oh well, too bad for you. I am sorry, and let me be the first one to apologize from the United States of motherfucking America. Handle our business in this country first. That is the first priority. That's what I remember, a better life for my kids before a better life for me. We are going to give our children a better life in the future so we can secure their lives and give them something that we have not had. But let's sign over for $60 billion in Ukraine. Did you?
To the U.S. now, which is bracing for a different kind of explosion. America is sitting on a giant mountain of debt. If it erupts, the consequences would be disastrous. The U.S. has one of the biggest debt piles in the world. The government owes close to $35 trillion. This is bigger than the U.S. economy. America's GDP is around $28 trillion, and their debt is $35 trillion. So America's debt is 123% of its GDP. Clearly, the government is borrowing beyond its means. And it continues to borrow. Whenever the government runs out of cash, it borrows more money, it issues more bonds, but it fails to contain its spending. This is a dangerous trajectory, and now the IMF has sounded an alarm.
Going forward, U.S. fiscal deficit is projected to stay elevated, driving debt to ever-rising heights. Debt pushes up interest rates and the dollar, contributing to tighter funding costs in the rest of the world.
Allow me to simplify that. The IMF, the International Monetary Fund, is telling the U.S. that it cannot keep borrowing without limits. Also because this has consequences for the whole world. America's rising debt is pushing up interest rates around the world. It is also raising the cost of loans. So the U.S. will have to find a way to tame its borrowing because it poses a risk to global financial stability, and that is the warning from the IMF. Which brings us to the question, why is it coming now? Why did the IMF not raise this earlier, and why are they doing it now? Because earlier, America's debt was considered safe, and for good reason. The U.S. has never defaulted on its loans. It has the world's biggest currency, the USD, which is also the world's reserve currency. And this allowed the U.S. government to get away with a lot. But today, U.S. debt looks risky. And one major reason for that is the interest. Let me show you some numbers from last month. Every 100 days, the U.S. has added $1 trillion to its debt. In other words, every 3 months, America's debt has increased by $1 trillion, so much so that now their interest payments are bigger than their defense budget. This year alone, the U.S. will pay $870 billion as interest on loans. $870 billion is the interest. Do you know what their defense budget is? $822 billion. And this high interest on loans is increasing America's debt. It's a bit like getting a home loan. Say you borrow money to buy an apartment. Now, most home loans come with a floating interest rate, meaning they can fluctuate depending upon the economic climate. The interest rate goes up or down. So you start repaying the loan. After paying your EMIs for a few years, you check your loan account only to be shocked. You will find that your debt has hardly reduced. You've been paying your EMIs on time, yet you have a significant debt burden after years of payment because the bank has been recovering the interest all this while. And this is a classic debt trap situation. When you borrow a large amount, your income does not rise and the interest fluctuates. When all of these three things happen, chances are your debts will increase. And the US government is in a similar situation. Top American bankers are concerned, like Jamie Dimon, of the CEO of JP Morgan Chase, or Brian Moynihan, the CEO of Bank of America, and BlackRock CEO Larry Fink. They're all concerned about America's growing debt. Also, Jerome Powell, the chairman of the U.S. Federal Reserve, consider what he said earlier this year. I'm quoting, "It's now time or past time to get back to an adult conversation among elected officials about getting the federal government back on a sustainable fiscal path." And this advice makes sense. He wants the U.S. government to reduce expenses and find ways to increase its income and start reducing its debt pile. This is common sense, but so far Washington has not been able to move in this direction. They don't even seem inclined to. Every year, Democrats and Republicans clash with each other over the debt limit. That's the legal borrowing limit for the U.S. government, the debt ceiling. Every year, the U.S. government finds itself on the brink of a shutdown. There's a clash over this debt ceiling. And after a few rounds of back and forth, they always resort to more debt to keep America running. American politicians seem to have only one strategy: run their government by borrowing more. But going forward, they will have to course correct and contain the debt because the stability of the U.S. economy and potentially the global economy depends on it.
History 101. They used to use urine to tan animal skins. So families used to all pee in a pot, and then once a day it was taken and sold to the tannery. If you had to do this to survive, you were piss poor. But worse than that were the really poor folk who couldn't even afford to buy a pot. They didn't have a pot to piss in and were the lowest of the low. The next time you are washing your hands and complain because the water temperature isn't just how you like it, think about how things used to be. Here are some facts about the 1500s. Most people got married in June because they took their yearly bath in May, and they still smelled pretty good by June. Since they were starting to smell, however, brides carried a bouquet of flowers to hide the body odor, hence the custom today of carrying a bouquet when getting married. Baths consisted of a big tub filled with hot water. The man of the house had the privilege of the nice clean water, then all the other sons and men, then the women, and finally the children. Last of all, the babies. By then the water was so dirty you could actually lose someone in it, hence the saying, "Don't throw the baby out with the bath." Houses had thatched roofs, thick straw piled high, with no wood underneath. It was the only place for animals to get warm, so all the cats and other small animals, mice, bugs, lived in the roof. When it rained, it became slippery, and sometimes the animals would slip and fall off the roof, resulting in the idiom, "It's raining cats and dogs." There was nothing to stop things from falling into the house. This posed a real problem in the bedroom, where bugs and other droppings could mess up your nice clean bed. Therefore, a bed with big posts and a sheet hung over the top afforded some protection. That's how canopy beds came into existence. The floor was dirt. Only the wealthy had something other than dirt, leading folks to coin the phrase, "dirt poor." The wealthy had slate floors that would get slippery in the winter when wet, so they spread thresh, straw, on floor to help keep their footing. As the winter wore on, they added more thresh until, when you opened the door, it would all start slipping outside. A piece of wood was placed in the entranceway, subsequently creating a threshold. In those old days, they cooked in the kitchen with a big kettle that always hung over the fire. Every day, they lit the fire and added things to the pot. They ate mostly vegetables and did not get much meat. They would eat the stew for dinner, leaving leftovers in the pot to get cold overnight, and then start over the next day. Sometimes stew had food in it that had been there for quite a while, and thus the rhyme, peas porridge hot, peas porridge cold, peas porridge in the pot 9 days old. Sometimes they could obtain pork, which made them feel quite special. When visitors came over, they would hang up their bacon to show off. It was a sign of wealth that a man could bring home the bacon. They would cut off a little to share with guests and would all sit around and chew the fat. Those with money had plates made of pewter. Food with high acid content caused some of the lead to leach onto the food, causing lead poisoning death. This happened most often with tomatoes, so for the next 400 years or so, tomatoes were considered poisonous. Bread was divided according to status. Workers got the burnt bottom of the loaf, the family got the middle, and guests got the top, or the upper crust. Lead cups were used to drink ale or whiskey. The combination would sometimes knock the imbibers out for a couple of days. Someone walking along the road would take them for dead and prepare them for burial. They were laid out on the kitchen table for a couple of days, and the family would gather around and eat and drink and wait and see if they would wake up, creating the custom of holding a wake. England is old and small, and the local folks started running out of places to bury people. So they would dig up coffins and would take the bones to a bone house and reuse the grave. When reopening these coffins, 1 out of 25 coffins were found to have scratch marks on the inside, and they realized they had been burying people alive, so they would tie a string on the wrist of the corpse, lead it through the coffin and up through the ground, and tie it to a bell. Someone would have to sit out in the graveyard all night, the graveyard shift, to listen for the bell, or was considered a dead ringer. And that's the truth.
The U.S. Embassy in Kampala, Uganda has been shut down. Uganda government have shut down the U.S. Embassy in Kampala, Uganda. And the U.S. Ambassador to Kampala, Uganda has been arrested, and he will be expelled in 48 hours. Uganda President Yoweri Museveni is biting more than what he can chew. Yoweri Museveni is looking for problems. Ladies and gentlemen, according to report, the U.S. Embassy in Kampala, Uganda raised the LGBTQ flag. They raised the flag at the embassy. The LGBTQ flag was raised up high. And according to the security apparatus of Uganda, the U.S. Embassy have violated their constitution. According to the Uganda President Yoweri Museveni, LGBTQ practice in Uganda is not allowed. So anyone that break the law will be punished. So currently, as we speak, the U.S. Embassy in Kampala, Uganda has been sealed. And a U.S. ambassador to Uganda has been arrested, and he will be expelled. Guys, what are your thoughts? America should respect people, culture, and law. What are your thoughts, guys?
I don't know if y'all paying attention or not, but Governor Abbott of Texas just used the supreme law of the land to outweigh the Supreme Court of the feds. Y'all know what that means? The Civil War just started. Now, let's TikTok about it. Governor Abbott of Texas has written a declaration that opposes any federal authority. And guess where I found that order at? Ingersoll Lockwood never lets me down. For those of you don't know, go to Ingersoll Lockwood. This has to be on the desktop. As you come down, there is a new icon at the bottom. We're going to click on it. And there you go. There is your declaration of state against the government. You can pause to read, but if you skip down to the final paragraph, it states, the failure of the Biden administration to fulfill the duties imposed by Article 4, Subsection 4, has triggered Article 1, Subsection 10, Clause 3, which reserves the state the right to its self-defense. For these reasons, I have already declared an invasion under Article 1, Subsection 10, Clause 3, to invoke Texas's constitutional authority to defend and protect itself. That authority is the supreme law of the land and supersedes any federal statutes to the contrary. The Texas National Guard, the Texas Department of Public Safety, and other Texas personnel are acting on that authority, as well as the state law, to secure Texas border. And for those of you that want to know what the icon is on the Ingersoll site, this time it's not a bunny or a mouse. It is a watch. It's a watch.
I was frightened by the sight of a life of pain. Whether easy days or complicated, it was all the same. It was scary. The main emotion I felt was shame. Tied myself to opinions of others while depression had me change. I remain with so many thoughts of doubt. Having issues with my identity, I lost it in the crowd. But I changed. It was life that taught me how to be the man you see and hear right now.
Breaking news. Okay, so we're still doing major updates on what took place over the past week, and we're leading all the way up to today. So don't worry, y'all. Y'all gonna get all the breaking news for today, but we're just doing the recap of the past week. Because, and I'm so happy that I feel like that was more of a blessing that I didn't have to report on that breaking news immediately, because like we said, he was lying. They was lying. America and Israel was lying. And I felt like they lied to get an emotional reaction out of KK and out of the entire world that's watching. It's getting desperate at this point, because Mr. Wish a Nigga Wood himself came out and laughed and said, girl, I'm so embarrassed for you right now. Like, this is trifling. Honestly, in 2024, when we have literally 1080p, 4K, you did this shit in 4K, you lied in 4K. Damn. That's a different level of desperation. And I feel like you just stalling so that you can try and get some kind of strategy or get your eggs and your ducks in a row. But we all know you finna get your ass whooped either way. But I mean, hey, do what you gotta do. Do what's best for you. So at this point, KK basically stated that we are fighting a war of wills and Iran has won. He's true about that, because for y'all to have lied like that for days, and then your own media sources, as well as literally all external media sources that aren't Western media sources, to also come out and do their own independent investigation, and for KK to open up his airways and open up his space so that they could do an independent investigation, that's crazy. That's crazy. I'm sorry. Why would you lie about that? Like, you had to know that we was gonna find out that you was lying. Like, girl, please, please. In the meantime, between time, I agree with KK with him saying that he felt like they were stalling. And he also said, we will continue to achieve victories per the true promise reflected on strength, the iron will of our people, and our unity. All segments of the people and the political trends agreed that Operation True Promise, which was basically when Iran, Hezbollah, and Yemen was jumping the shit out of Israel, that was Operation True Promise. So when you hear them say Operation True Promise, that's just, think about when they was jumping the shit out of Israel. That's all you need to know, okay? Don't get too technical with it. They jumped the shit out of Israel, but they named it True Promise. I love that. It was a very listen, because he did tell you the truth and he promised you that he would stick his foot up your ass, and up your ass is where it went. So I don't know, tell you, you may want to go ahead and quiet down, okay? Because he swinging that big D energy, and he let you know what it was and what it ain't gonna be. has strengthened the strength and ability of the Islamic Republic. Now, what he meant by strengthen the strength and the ability of the Islamic Republic, he meant that because an independent report and data was taken post-True Promise, where the, you know, they did a poll and they realized that the popularity of Russia, China, and Iran alone has skyrocketed ever since. And well, I would say in the past, what, 3 or 4 decades, the United States and the Western Axis powers, or yeah, they've had NATO, I guess, they've had the opportunity or the upper hand with painting this picture as if they are the most evil people in the entire world. Let me show you. Boom. Right here, as you can see. Didn't I tell y'all niggas? Didn't I tell y'all? They've been telling everybody that they evil as hell, right? Now, this is crazy coming from a man with a 5-pound blockhead, bag of sugar head, with literal glasses that are too small. If you don't give your son his damn glasses back and stop playing with us, you expect us to trust you when you can't even so much as get your own pair of glasses, them small ass frames. Please. We don't trust you. Do you understand? Speaker Johnson, we don't trust you. Not only that, the bills that you've been attempting to pass and hiding $95 billion worth of American tax money so you can sneakily send 26 big bills out of that American tax money over to Israel so that they can somewhat defend themselves. It's crazy. Y'all been lying to us this entire time, and if for some reason you still seem to think that we gonna believe what the fuck is coming out of them dick flappers yours, but no, it ain't finna happen, Captain. So basically what Iran was stating was, not only have y'all proved to the whole world that y'all are nothing else but some liars, but you have also strengthened our strength. We were already strong. We was already coming with that action, Jackson. We was already packing, okay? Don't make me pop the trunk on your ass because I got toodles waiting for you. Don't make me go get toodles. Do you understand what I'm saying? We already had that strength, but now you just made us 10 to 20 times more popular because you just proved to the whole world without us even having to so much lift a motherfucking finger that not only are you a liar, but you're weak. You're weak sauce. Period. KK. Period. Like I said, that's Mr. Wish a Nigga Would. And while all that was going on, they sent another 61 big billies to Ukraine. Why? I don't know. Every time Israel gets a little bit of tension, Zelensky decides he wants to throw a temper tantrum talking about Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. We get it. We get it. But also, Zelensky, you getting your ass whooped. That's why nobody paying attention to you, girl. Literally, all Putin did was, bitch, flicked you off his shoulder like he was a bug. Literally mopped Siberia with your ass. I don't know what you want from us, Zelensky. We don't care. We don't. I don't know what to tell you. We just don't give a fuck. Like, why are you trying to make us care about something we clearly have made it perfectly clear that we don't give a fuck about? Only the politicians care about that shit. And I'm gonna let you in on a little secret. The American dollar ain't worth shit, and it's about to be a lot worse. So sending over these billions of dollars, it ain't gonna be worth. Where you gonna trade it at? Who gonna take that money? Because as of right now, they've already called in BRICS for everybody to stop using the American dollar. So, I mean, at this point, our generation, we already know. Like, they keep sending these billions of dollars overseas, but it ain't worth nothing. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not worth nothing. Everybody's about to stop using the U.S. dollar. So you just holding a bunch of monopoly money. Yeah. I know you thought you ate that up, BB and Zelensky. I know you thought you ate that down. But God said, it's my turn now. And ate that up is exactly what America thought they did when they did this TikTok ban. So you mean to tell me the last remaining application that would have had you connected to BRICS, you decided to not only taunt them, tamper with their application, but you backed them into a corner to try and force them to sell their portion of data to you? And if they don't, then they have to basically get the fuck. Mind you, TikTok is probably their last entrance into BRICS, right? They could have leveraged TikTok to get into BRICS, but instead they tried to strong arm Shinchu, which, by the way, I don't give a fuck about this app, but I just thought it was smart for us to consider this ban that's going around and why it's important to what's going on right now. They don't want us to talk to each other. They've done it with Facebook, Instagram, and now they're doing it with TikTok. Baby, one thing that remains continuous in the same, we're going to find a way to wake one another up, and we're going to find a way to tell each other the truth. That will never change. Do you understand what I'm saying? We are so methodical in telling the truth that it is literally written into our DNA. There's nothing you can do to stop us from spreading the truth. However, you can shoot yourself in the foot, though. Because this was the stupidest shit y'all ever did thus far. And y'all about to see how God does his nasty motherfucking work. Because now, how are you going to get into BRICS? Don't nobody want to buy nothing from America. Don't nobody want that funky, crunchy ass dollar. Don't nobody want your shit. What are you, how are you going to get into BRICS? Damn, Big Poo. Damn, KK. Damn, China. Y'all ate that one right on up. I must admit, y'all ate it up. Ate it up. Left no crummies on that plate. Now, obviously, they knew that they done messed up. So, for some odd reason, BB still feels like they're going to continue to try and attack Hamas. Now, we've seen them try this attempt to try and weaken all of the proxies, starting with America and the UK attacking Yemen while Israel attempted to attack Hezbollah 48 hours after True Promise. Remember, they got jumped. So they called themselves trying to attack these countries, but it was a flop. It was honestly so sad that both of them laughed. Nasrallah and the Yemeni force, they literally laughed. They said, hold on, I got it for y'all. There we are. Yemen said our battle will continue until Gaza wins. So now Israel is trying to taunt and mess with Hamas, but Yemen and Nasrallah said, girl, what was that? Like, that was weak. What the fuck was that? Breaking news. Okay, so we're still...
Who did horrible things. But that detective also worked with prosecutors who did horrible things. And a prosecutor has now been disbarred because of these horrible things. I'm going to take you back to some reporting we did on day one about this detective. Here it is. We've been reporting on this SOB detective for months. Let's put his picture up. Now he's indicted. We're talking about Roger Galupski. This is evil personified. For decades, this man utilized his authority as a police officer, a detective, a supervisor, to do what? To brutalize Black women, to sexually prey on Black women, to even indicate that he was going to prey on a Black woman's daughter, and gave young Black men cases in jail when their mother would not have a sexual relation with him. Dirty as hell. Roger Galupski was arrested at his home, finally, in Edwardsville, after federal grand jury indicted him on 6 counts of civil rights violations. He was expected to make his first court appearance Thursday afternoon. So he's a retired cop now. Galupski retired in 2010. After working for the Kansas City Police Department for how many years? 35 years. And they knew he was corrupt. They did nothing. The FBI has been investigating allegations that Galupski was white, sexually assaulted Black women in the city, and exchanged drugs for information during criminal investigations, something he did routinely. The federal indictment announced Thursday accuses Galupski of sexually assaulting 2 women on several occasions between 1998 and 2002. The indictment does not state the race of the women. He is accused of raping both women and forcing them to perform oral sex on him several times in his vehicle and at the woman's home. Galupski's conduct included aggravated assault, abuse, and kidnapping, according to the indictment. If convicted of any of the counts, Galupski could be sentenced to life in prison.
With millions watching and many people benefiting from this program called Indisputable, we just need 1% of his, I would call, partner in crime. Now, in order for him to get away with these malicious and false prosecutions, he has to work with somebody. In an update, in Kansas, Tara Moorhead, who retired as a federal prosecutor last August, has agreed to turn over her law license as a county prosecutor in the 1990s. Moorhead helped KCKPD detective Roger Golubsky frame an innocent man who spent 23 years in prison. She has been able to operate as a prosecutor ever since. Moorhead, who became notorious for skirting legal protections for defendants, agreed to surrender her license as part of an agreement with the Kansas Board of Discipline of Attorneys. She is awaiting disbarment from the Kansas Supreme Court, according to the filings. The documents also show that Moorhead, who retired from the U.S. Attorney's Office in Kansas last August, was the subject of a federal investigation by the U.S. Department of Justice. The result of that probe is currently unknown. Moorhead's conduct came under scrutiny during the exoneration of Lamont McIntyre, who was convicted in 1994 of a double homicide when he was 17 years of age. McIntyre was freed in 2017 after the county district attorney Mark Dupree said his conviction was a manifest injustice, and a judge decided to drop the entire case. McIntyre sued and was awarded $12.5 million in 2022 by the Unified Government of Kansas City and the county for wrongful conviction. Now, if you recall, when we first covered the story of Golubsky, I said on this program, in order for Golubsky to do what he has been able to do for decades, he has been working with other police officers, others who are executives in law enforcement, and yes, absolutely prosecutors who decided to continue to prosecute cases brought to them by this corrupt individual. And I said then, someone, or maybe more than someone, who probably...
Breaking news! Okay, so the last place we left off, we talked about how after the attacks happened, True Promise and Israel got jumped. Basically, they attempted to, America and Israel tried a new strategy where they attempted to get to Iran by taking out its proxies first. But they're so slow because either way, it's not going to work. KK got too many people on his side. He got too many heavy hitters. They packing way too much heat. And y'all trying to do these sneak attacks, it's just pathetic. It's literally like, I don't know how to put it, like, you ever see someone much smaller than you, like, trying to bite you, and you stop them with your hand by holding their forehead with your hand, they just swinging? That's kind of what's going on right now, because even Yemen laughed at America. Imagine you stopped the food program that was supposed to be feeding over 80% of Yemen's population. You took that shit away, right? And they laughed in your face after you kept bombing their place. They laughed at you and said, what the fuck was that? You thought you ate that up, did you? You mad. Listen, Yemen is that girl. And I don't care who says anything, Yemen is that girl. Stop playing with it. Nasrallah returned the heat that Israel sent its way times 10. And he says, bitch, I ain't coming up off that neck. I ain't coming up off that neck. I'm keeping my foot, my kneecap, my elbow if I got to, baby. I'm not coming up off your neck. What I say? I said you fuck with the wrong motherfucker today. And guess what? I ain't coming up off that neck, BB. Okay? I will decimate Northern Chalk Zone, and that's exactly what I intend to do. Damn. Are you okay, BB? Listen, at this point, the way KK has been telling Yemen and Nasrallah, no, let him get up. Let him get up. Let him get up. Let him get up. Get him a glass of milk, because he gonna need it. Get him a glass, all right? It's crazy. This is embarrassing, but it's also very funny for us that's watching. Because the sheer mediocre confidence in the way that these countries is moving things around and the way that they genuinely feel like they have the upper hand is crazy, because every time they try something, the way they fail is so pathetic and miserable. It's honestly hard to watch. Now, I know that they're trying to make it seem as if that they're doing it on purpose, but I promise you they're not. Well, they're trying to make it seem as if that's their strategy. Like, they're definitely trying to, like, oh, look over here, look over there, da, 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 da. But I promise you, they don't have nothing. Listen, these are two countries that have made it perfectly clear, Israel and America, that they're supposedly the biggest and the baddest wolf, right? Do you think that if they had power to actually target Iran's facilities or actually blow up Yemen's facilities, don't you think they would already did that already? They've been literally begging Yemen to get up out of that Red Sea. They have tried everything. They have called on every single last resource, including Poland now coming out and stating that they are ready to house nuclear weapons on its territory. Baby, what you finna do? Child, please. Because the way Big Poot is not playing with y'all. Listen, he barely moved an inch to decimate Ukraine. Don't piss this man off, please. We don't need this man pissed off. We saw just a mere percentage of how angry that man can get when y'all messed with that music hall in Moscow. Please don't piss this man all the way off that he has to break the fourth wall. Because if that man gotta come out of character and show you who he truly is, the whole world gonna see how Big Poop, KK and them are who America and Germany think they are. And Israel think they are. They're gonna show y'all who the real big dogs are. Listen, they've been practicing and exercising restraint. And I'm appreciative of that, Big Poop. I really am. I really appreciate y'all for not blowing up our spot. I love y'all down for that. You ate it up. However, okay, I just wanna let you know they plotting and scheming. And we ain't got nothing to do with that. That's Jody Joe and his whole crew, okay? That ain't got nothing to do with the American people. We don't want none of that smoke. We're good. Now, I would show y'all some of the graphic images about what's going on in Rafah. And if you have not heard already, yes, Israel did decide to go into Rafah and do an airstrike into Rafah. And they have done so consistently over the past 24 to 48 hours. I have been checking back in with some of the sources over there, and I'm so grateful that they are still alive. However, the people that are there, I'm glad that they scattered out of Rafah, as many as they could, scattered through central and northern Gaza in order to escape the potential strike that was coming. Again, they don't know where the strikes are coming from, when they're coming. They just don't know. In the same exact fashion that the Israelis didn't know when the Iranian strike was coming against them, okay? Now, listen, with everything that's going on with the airstrikes and in Rafah, they have already invaded Rafah. Things are getting, so much worse in Gaza. And there's even more of a need for us to continue fighting. So please don't give up the fight. Now, if you needed a reason to get your energy back up and going, go on Megatron's X account and look at this video. It's still there. This is a video that shows a Jewish man that was near Ramallah after trying to remove a Palestinian flag. Obviously, because TikTok keeps updating its community guidelines, I cannot show you guys this. We will discuss the updates in the community guidelines in another video, but just trust me on this, y'all. I'm giving y'all the source. Head on over, search Megatron, and the video is on his page. Let me tell you something. If fuck around and find out, was a group of people, it is definitely the pieces of the Islamic Resistance Group, and Hamas is one of them, okay? Because Big H don't come to play. They know exactly how these people operate, and after Israel has been, and the IOF has been caught using recordings of children, which they've been accused of doing so way back in November and October, using recordings of children and women screaming for help, Hamas said, okay, you know, I had to double it. Tell me why they put that red flag out there knowing that a Jewish person or a Zionist was, not Jewish, I'm sorry, a Zionist man was going to come and try and snatch that thing. Baby, the minute he touched that thing, he went, okay. listen. I'm not saying that he deserved it, but what I am saying is God's timing is always right. Because his wife didn't even scream or cry. And you could tell she was quite literally sick of his shit. She turned around and drove right away. Lord. And while all of that was taking place, tell me why Israel also decided to start messing with Iraq, okay? So basically through one of, you know, the proxies or whatever, listen, we know that they be sneaking and doing this shit. The Islamic Resistance in Iraq announced it will resume attacks against U.S. bases in the region after a lack of progress regarding negotiations about a U.S. military withdrawal from Iraq. So I know a lot of people assume assumed that they was attacking Iraq for just whatever unbeknownst reason. But honestly, it's all about what's going on, and it all ties back into what's going on. Iraq been told the U.S. to hit the motherfucking bricks. And mind you, Iraq was one of the places that opened up their airspaces so Iran could send them drones over to Izzy. And I felt, remember I told y'all I felt like they purposely dropped one of them duds over Jordan just to leave a message? Yeah, it's looking closer and closer to that. And it definitely, with the way that those drones attacked a U.S. base in Syria, and the way that they attacked Iraq, listen, it's definitely looking like I was accurate with that, because they're being very passive aggressive. They're trying to exercise some form of restraint, but we all know it's beef, okay? We watching this go down. We know it's beef. We know it's nothing else but action going on, okay? So any move that they make, especially if it's against someone that Iran is in alliance with, we know that it came from two main culprits and that they more than likely did it because they was mad. So what did they do? They targeted them back. They targeted them air bases in Syria, and they said, y'all got the right one today, beloved. Y'all got the right one. Y'all got the right one. Listen, America is, girl, you just can't get right. And this is so sad. We were going through all of this information yesterday on live, and I said that this honestly feels like a desperate attempt to reclaim or regain some sort of power, make it look as if they're still in control of the situation. And I feel like KK also has the same exact thinking, because the way that they're moving methodically in response to the way that Israel and America keeps attacking them, and they're doing something right back, but they're also practicing and exercising just a little bit of restraint, is letting them know, like, I'm really that big dog. Like, I'm really like that. I'm like that, nigga. I'm like that. Okay? Let me know what it is, because you talking my language, talking about this nuclear shit. You talking my language. Listen, I was playing nice, but now you talking my language. Did you not see how much I was mass producing those nuclear weapons? Let me know what it is, because I'll show up. I'll be right there. I'm on the way. Let me know. And the Rock said, yeah, we standing 10 toes deep with KK. So, whoo, now it's not safe for America, y'all.
What the Western countries were scared of is not going to happen in Africa, more specifically, in the Sahel region where Burkina Faso is located. In his latest interview, the president of Burkina Faso shared his future plans that literally are on another level. He is a genius, and the strategies he put forward are so powerful that they can unite the whole of Africa. With his plans, all African countries grappling with terrorism will never need foreign troops and aid. Rather, the African countries will come closer and help each other, making the Western countries totally irrelevant in the region. In this way, African countries could use their natural resources, preserve them, and avoid further exploitation. His interview was seen live in the West, and it created shockwaves, collapsing all the master plans Europe had made for Africa. Putting a last nail in the coffin, he made it clear that election in Burkina Faso is not a priority until he resolves the security problem. How is he going to do that? Let's find that out in this video. When Captain Ibrahim Traoré became the president of Burkina Faso in October 2022, nobody had expected that this young leader would have plans to change the face of Africa. Yes, he had not come to only change Burkina Faso. He had plans to totally change Africa and make it a continent which would rule the world. At that time, revealing these plans would have been underestimated, so he kept these plans to himself. However, after 1 year of being in power and consolidating all his forces, he has finally revealed what he is thinking. In an interview, he said that when you aim to protect the edges of a table, you typically don't remain confined to the table itself. Rather, you extend your efforts beyond it. If African countries had provided support to Mali since 2012, or if Africa had backed Niger, would terrorism have taken root there? He said that he doubted it. He said that African countries remained passive, assuming it only affected others. Additionally, this pattern is observed in many neighboring states. They don't anticipate similar occurrences, and that's a mistake. His argument was simple. If African countries had helped each other, there would never be a need for foreign troops and aid. The argument stresses the need for taking proactive and preventive actions to address security threats, especially concerning counter-terrorism efforts in the Sahel region. The analogy of defending the perimeter of a table highlights the importance of extending support beyond immediate borders to prevent security challenges from spreading. Well, that's a genius plan. It says that instead of fighting terrorists in the home country, the African leaders have to move beyond their borders. This means that they have to collaborate and launch a broader operation against terrorism. The comparison to protecting the perimeter of a table underscores the importance of being proactive rather than reactive in defense strategies. It emphasizes the necessity of taking preemptive steps to tackle security threats before they become more severe and spread to neighboring areas. Initiating proactive measures, such as offering support and aid to vulnerable neighboring countries, suggests that the escalation of terrorism and instability could have been prevented. This argument also says that the lack of adequate support for nations like Mali and Niger has contributed to the increase of terrorism in these regions. What the Western countries were scared of is not going to happen.
See, you can't know Messiah coming back. You're wild, your salvation drawn near. Look up, that's the update. Only the Father know when he coming. He got the update. So shall the Son of Man be lifted up. That's the update. The 12 tribes rise around the world. That's the update. California on fire, Greece on fire. Y'all, we at the end of time. Earthquakes every hour. Most eyes showing his power. Y'all, this place gonna get devoured. The sheep waiting on they seven. He gon' get us together. Y'all, that day gon' be so special. Stay repenting up next. Stop that sinning before he catch you. His protection is a blessing. Song of Israel can do nothing but raise my hand. The Father about to clear the land. So Jacob return again. By the way, we found the Ark of the Covenant. We ain't playing. We know we at war. Ain't no explanation for the things that I saw. See, you came to know Messiah coming back. You're wild, your salvation draw near. Look up, that's the update. Only the Father know when he coming. He got the update. So shall the Son of Man be lifted up. That's the update. The 12 tribes rise around the world. That's the update. California on fire.